lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, for thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy out of mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would please bless this time of studying your word, Lord. I know it's convicted me already, and I pray that you would help me to convey what you have told me to these dear people, Lord. And pray that you would bless the juniors as they're down at camp, and Pastor and Brother Donald and Miss Marissa, Lord. Just keep them safe. Thank you for the results for that we've already heard about, but you would continue to bless there. And bless this night in Jesus' name. Amen. Our bodies are made of approximately 65% water. That's a lot of water. Think about it. You could literally cut yourself in half, and that much mass would be water. We can survive an average of 7 days without water. Some more, but that's the average. Over 70% of the Earth's surface is covered in water. I remember as a little kid, I think I was probably 9 years old, the first time I heard that fact, I did not believe it. I thought my teacher was lying to me. He told me 3/4 of the world was water. Of course, I'd never seen the ocean, so I guess that makes sense. But once I saw the ocean, I believed her. Water plays a huge role in our lives. And yet, somehow, we never miss it till we don't have it. You think about it. It's been raining today, and what a blessing that's been, even with the severe weather problems that we face along with that. We've needed rain for quite some time. And it's very apparent. You can walk, you can drive down the street and you can see yard after yard after yard that's burnt and dry and brown. And there's always that one guy that has that underground sprinkler system in his garden. His yard is like a jungle, you know. That's Brother Bill Horsch. I'm telling you, if you drive by his house, it's like a rainforest. Anyways, appreciate what you do with our plants here, brother. So we've needed rain for quite some time. And never have we really recognized it. Okay, I just came from California. You think this is a drought? California is a drought. It is very dry there. You hear about the wildfires. You hear about this, the water shortages. It is literally a law how long you can take a shower in some towns. It's that bad. And it's very severe. You walk around, there's nothing growing. Agriculture is in a severe decline because of the severe drought. The state of Michigan gets an average of 31 inches of rain per year, not including snow. For some perspective, the Atacama Desert in South America, the driest desert in the world, gets half an inch per year. 31 inches versus half an inch. It's funny that you never recognize how much rain affects our lives until it's gone. And I'm going to tell you this. The question we need to ask ourselves tonight is, am I a dry Christian? We look at verse number 6 in Psalm 143. The psalmist says, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. I'm going to read you Psalm 63, chapter 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Every man is born with a thirst, a need for a relationship with his Creator. It is when man attempts to quench this thirst with earthly things that he scoffs at the living water. How many of you are Coke drinkers? Any Coke drinkers? About 7? Pepsi? This is about 50-50. All right. So growing up, there was a Pepsi-Coke war in my house. Dad was Coke, Mom was Pepsi. They fought it out all the time. So when you, as a kid, asked for a drink of soda, you thought twice about which one you asked for. So I sided with my dad, went on the Coke side of things. And it's funny, when you drink 2 cans of Coke per day, when someone comes up to you and offers you a glass of water, you don't really need it. It doesn't appeal to you. Well, think about that. We have people in our lives every day, and every day they get things crammed down their throat that the world throws at them, such as worldly music, cursing, pornography, inappropriate gestures, everything that gets crammed down their throat, and then they think about church and think, I don't really need it. Well, that's why we need to recognize that our dryness could be causing their lack of thirst. Yeah. Pastor said something the other day. He said, when we're commanded to be the salt of the earth, that we're supposed to cause thirst. And that really struck a chord with me. How much are we doing to make people want the living water? How much are we doing to make people want to have Jesus in their life? So, I told you that if you're a Coke drinker, or if you drink Pepsi or whatever all the time, and you think about water, it's not very appealing unless you're dehydrated. I want to tell you a story. I'm going to try not to make it extremely emotional or anything like that, just because I am an extremely emotional person. I don't want to cry. Okay. So on July 21st, 2012, there was a 16-year-old girl named Savannah living in Muncie, Indiana. And that day, she caught the flu. She came down with the flu. 2 days later, she died. That girl was my cousin. Her name was Savannah Posey. And obviously, her parents were stricken with grief, asking themselves why. What happened? It was just a simple flu. What could they possibly have done? She was laying on the couch, well taken care of. And 2 days later, she just passed on. Thankfully, I know she was saved. She had a very clear testimony. Sweetest girl you'd ever meet. And I've talked to her parents many times about how they've dealt with that, and the Lord really has brought them through it. She was dehydrated. The flu had sucked her bodily fluids, so she had nothing left. And even though she had thought that she was drinking enough, it wasn't. Her mother thought she was taking good care of her. They gave her fluids, chicken noodle soup, everything you're supposed to do for a flu. They did it. And she still passed away. And obviously that can cause some perceived grief or guilt, some perceived guilt that really shouldn't have been there. But this is my point. You don't know all the time when you're dehydrated. When you backslide as a Christian, you're not always aware. That's why you need the great physician, folks. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. He's going to tell you when you're starting to get drunk. He's going to tell you when you're not going often enough to the living word, the water of life. God says in Revelation 22, let every man drink freely. God's given us his word written down so we have access whenever we want. We even have it on our phones. We can go to it literally anytime we choose. And yet, how often do we do it? If you're like me, I drink water. Well, I used to be like this. I drink water when I'm thirsty. When my mouth is dry, when after I've played sports, then I would drink water. But as I started to get older, I realized that not only do I have to drink water when I'm thirsty, I need to drink water continuously. Because that is what really helps you. It's no good to, when you start to get dehydrated and then you replenish. You need to keep yourself at optimum performance. And that's what God wants us to do with his word. If you're not saved tonight, God is not offering you a glass of water to quench your thirst for one time alone. He's offering you a faucet connected to a deep well of grace, an eternal well. Doesn't have a bottom. And as Christians, let me ask you the question, when was the last time that you partook of the water of life? Yes, you got saved. Yes, I got saved. But how many times do we pass by the thought of spending some time with God, just a few minutes? How many times do we just pass by and not even think about it? I think about people that live in the desert, the Sahara. Would they ever, tell me this, if you grew up in a desert where you got 8 ounces of water a day, maybe, would you ever walk by a water fountain without taking a drink? No, because it would be precious to you. Sometimes we do that with the Bible. Sometimes we do that with our time with God. We don't realize what a gift it is from God. In the parable of the sower, Jesus compares the heart to soil. Let's ask ourselves tonight, are we guilty of being dry soil? Are we so dry that nothing can grow in our lives? What happens when land gets no water? Here are three things. Number one, it gets hard. Is our heart hardened? Have we heard the things of God so many times from church that it doesn't impact us anymore? When land goes through a drought like this, Uncle Jack and I were working the other day, and it wasn't that dry, but we were digging. We put our shovel into the ground. I stepped on it with 1 foot, nothing. 2 foot, 2 feet, nothing. I literally had to jump on the shovel just to get it where I wanted it to go. That's what happens when earth gets dry. It gets hard. That's what happens to our hearts when we don't spend the time with God that we should. We start to get hard. Second thing that happens, becomes desolate. There's one word that describes a desert. It is desolate. And that means alone. It's lonely. Sometimes we all go through ups and downs as Christians. Sometimes you feel like you're on the mountain. Sometimes you think you're in a valley. But there are times when you think you're in the valley and you think you're alone. And that is never true. Because God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if he said that, then why do we sometimes feel like we're alone? And the answer is because we're dry. It's because we don't have the water that we have access to. We haven't been taking advantage of that. Third thing. When our relationships with other believers suffer, we should check our hearts. Deserts are not very inviting places. You see pictures of the great deserts that are like near Egypt, Africa. They don't look like somewhere you'd want to vacation. Sometimes when we get spiritually dry and we forget to reach out to other people, we forget to have our speech seasoned with salt. It can be very unappealing to be around you, to be around me. I know that's like when I know this. This is a true fact about me that I probably shouldn't tell you because you'll know when I'm not walking with God. But anyways, when I am sarcastic and short with other people and I lose it, it's because I am not walking with God like I should. It's a cause and effect. I know it to be true. When I'm short with other people, it's because my time with God has been too short as well. Last thing, when land gets dry, it cannot bear fruit. There is no way. I've seen several valleys in California that have just shriveled up. They've died. There's the only thing that grows there now is thorny brush. And they used to be a farmland. And you think about that. They have the ocean right next to them. Shouldn't be hard to work some kind of irrigation system out. But they haven't. So the land dies and no fruit can be got from that land. Those are just a few of the warning signs of being a dry Christian. We won't be much longer tonight. We can prevent becoming a dry Christian by irrigation, saturating ourselves with the things of God and his word, by spending time in prayer and fellowship with Jesus, by going to church. The verse we just read, Psalm chapter 63, verse 1, says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. This is David talking here. And if you read the subscript underneath the Psalm 63, it says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. There was a reason he was thirsty. Because he was running from King Saul. He was hiding in the wilderness. And he says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in thy sanctuary. David had been to the temple before. Well, the sanctuary, the tabernacle. He had seen the glory of God. But being in the wilderness because of situation, he longed for the time that he had seen the power of God. He wanted it again. We talk about revival a lot. Revival. Revival. What does that word even mean? Revival means to be made alive again. CPR, that's revival. Resuscitation. People that sign the do not resuscitate forms, that's a choice. But have you signed that as a Christian? Have you just said, when I go, I go? No, God is in the reviving business. He is the master of resurrection. And if you feel, if you know, if God is telling you that your heart is dry, that you're missing something in your Christian life, God wants to fulfill that desire for revival. When we do get dried up, what should we do? Well, let's see what David did. Back to chapter 143, Psalm 143. I'm going to run through, oh, not run. We're going to go through this chapter verse by verse pretty quick, and then we'll be done. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. Here's the key verse. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. How many times do we come before God and you start to say, Dear Lord, you just know, God, it's me again. Please don't judge me. Please forgive me of my sins, because there is no way that I, as a sinner, can even dare to come before you. That should be our attitude. That's my attitude all the time. We fail God so often. So often. The Bible says the husband is supposed to love their wives as Christ loved the church. That's a big example. I'm, Lord willing, hopefully getting married soon. And I've started to look at the duties of the husband, the responsibilities. And I'm told that I'm supposed to love my future wife as Christ loved the church. Wow. That's huge. How many times do we, as church, how many times do we fail God, and yet His mercies are new every morning? Every time we come before Him, He forgives us. He puts us back on our feet. He remembereth our frame, that we are but dust. Man, what a loving God we have. So, verse number 2, he admitted his guilt. He said, "For in thy sight shall no man living be justified." At this time in David's life, when he wrote this psalm, it was after Absalom had rebelled. And he knew that the reason for the suffering he was going through was right there, right close to home. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. He knew why Absalom had rebelled. Because he wasn't involved in the situations of his own home. Say what you will about David. He was an amazing man of God, awesome king, wrote some of the best songs that I have ever read. But he still failed in some areas of his life, and this is one of them. And he knew it. So when he came to God, he said, "God, I know this is my fault. I know why I am like this right now. It's all on me." Second thing he did, we can find in verse 4. "Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate." He bemoans his solitude. He says, "I don't want to be alone." Here's a principle that God tells us in His Word. We already talked about it a little bit. God never walks away. We walk away. God will never desert you, but we desert God. Some people compare it to two people walking. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? And they're walking. And then we look around and God's not there. God didn't change course. We changed course. And that's where David finds himself. He says, "I'm alone. And I don't want to be alone." Verse 4, "My heart within me is desolate." He knew that he needed someone with him. And he was alone. The next thing he did was he considered the past. Verse number 5. "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands." Telling you what, Loomis Park Baptist Church, we have a past. It's a great past. Church that's over 100 years old, do you know how valuable that is? Do you know how amazing that is? God has done a great work here in the past. And sometimes I think, do we ever think about that? Do we ever want that to happen again? Reading and talking are two different things. I was reading one of the old books that they used to put out. It was a church directory. We had a vacation Bible school here, 1,000 children. 1,000. You ready for that, Uncle Jack? They must have had a great skit program. The snacks must have been great. Maybe they give the kids free iPhones. No, this was 1964. Yeah, maybe it was bubblegum. Had nothing to do with what they did. Had everything to do with who they were listening to. I think, church, I am so excited to be here with all of you. I love this place already, and I've only been here a month. And I can feel that as a church, we love each other, and we love God, and we're trying to serve Him. But I want to remind us tonight that we need to remember the past so we can bring it into the future. I'm kind of a techie guy. I like computers and things with blinky lights on them. And I sometimes get trapped up in that. I sometimes think, if I can do it on my phone, it'll be great. But then I forget about, what if God's not in it? And then we got this VBS coming up. I'm sure every one of us is going to try to be involved in some way, whether it's donating food, props, coming to help, helping with babysitting. Every one of us is going to try to be involved, because that's what a church does. But we need to make sure that God's involved. We got to have some prayer warriors. I know that some people that can't make it into church, some of our shut-ins, that they pray daily for every one of us, and that they're specifically praying for this Vacation Bible School. But they shouldn't be the only ones. We need to help them out in prayer. The last thing David did was he decided to go to the source. This is where he made the right call. Verse number 6. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. David came before God. He knew he had messed up. He knew that why he was where he was his own fault. He remembered what God had done for him in the past. He's slain a lion and a bear. He's doing pretty good. Now he's running through rocks, having rocks thrown at him, being cussed out by a commoner as a king. He had been deposed. It's not a very good place to be. But he remembered what had happened in the past. He remembered, God did some great things for me. I killed a giant through God's help. And I want that back. That's what I want again. He remembered the past. And then he remembered God. I think so often if we're down, if we call it down on our luck. What really is usually our consequences from our sin catch up with us. But when we get to that low valley point, we think we have to climb our way out. No, you can't do it. When you reach the bottom of the barrel, if you try to climb out, you're going to drown. There's no way out. Only way you can get out. I stretch forth my hands. My soul thirsteth for thee as a dry, thirsty land. You got to know that the only way up is by kneeling down. So true. And David recognized it. We realize the rest of the psalm, you look down in verse number 11, it says, quicken me, O Lord. Quicken means to make alive. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. David knew where power truly lies. He knew where safety, where refuge was. It's from God. He said all the time in the Psalms, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. He wanted to get back to that place. I'm going to read you Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. I think that this sums up King David's view of God. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When shall I come and appear before God? It's an anticipation. When can I spend more time with God? Man, that convicts me so much. My usual thought, okay, I got 5 minutes. I'm in a dating relationship. My girlfriend's name is Lindsay. She's in California. So, like I said, I like technology. That's how I survive. I FaceTime my girlfriend. We get to talk on the phone all the time. And my thought throughout the day is usually, when can I talk to my girlfriend next? It should be, when can I appear before God? And it's so convicting, but it's so true. And I think that's why David was such a great man. Let me read that one more time because I like it. Psalm 42, verse number 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, the hart's a deer. As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. For my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Think about that song that we sing all the time. As the deer panteth for the water. That singing must be either really bad or really good because you all looked up. That was awesome. As the deer panteth for the water. Just like a dry desert land needs water. Just like a deer that's running from the hunter needs water. That's how we should need water. It's got to be our top priority. We need God in everything we do. Not just for when we come to church on Sundays. Not just when we help at VBS. But for when we go to work. When we punch in. You're facing a world. That's it. The world doesn't like you. The Bible says that the world hates us because it hates Christ. How are you going to combat that? We need to have sweet fellowship with our Savior to sustain us. That's what keeps us from drying up as Christians. Lastly, if we want to grow as Christians and not to dry up spiritually, we must constantly be drinking from the water of life. This is not just a once a day thing. I don't drink one drink of water a day. I drink water pretty much all the time. Just because I need it. I know I need it. And as Christians, you can't just talk to God once a day. You can't say, thank you for the food. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. If you do, I think you know. I think we've all been there when we know our spiritual walk is just starting to slip a little bit. And we didn't have time this morning. And we didn't have time the next morning. I know what that's like. But God says that's where we get into a world of hurt. So let's, as Christians, remember that our number one priority is not making money. That's not hanging out with friends. It's not even having a family. It's being with God and being who He wants us to be. Having a family is great. Making money is not a sin. By all means, give me some. But most importantly, we need to remember God is number one. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for everything you've taught me just through studying this portion of your word. And it's so convicting, Lord. Pray that we, as members of Loomis Park Baptist Church, that we would recognize that you are in control. You direct our steps individually and as a church body, Lord. Pray that we would remember the past so we can revive ourselves and bring it to the future, God. We love you so much. Miss Robin is going to play a verse of invitation real quick. And if you feel like the Lord has spoken to you in some way, just on whether it'd be your devotion time or just thinking about God throughout the day, and feel free to come forward. I know I need it.
Directly to Brother Hoffman, so don't let my preaching influence your giving, okay? I appreciate you being here with us tonight, Brother Brent. Brother Horsch, are you praying for the offering? Are you praying for the offering? Okay.
First of all, I want to thank Brother Mark for that message out of Psalm 143. You know, I don't want to be a dried-up Christian to you. We need to pray, teach me, O God, to do thy will. Well, we're going to take up an offering for Brother Brent Hoffman and his family as they, of course, look forward to going to Panama. And how much have you raised so far? 75%. Praise the Lord. Well, let's add to that. I ask that you would give generously. Normally, this would be a offering at Loomis Park Baptist Church on Wednesday evening for the Deacon's Fund. But let's go a little bit further tonight and just remember this young family and their commitment to the Lord to serve Him in a foreign country for that lost soul that needs to know the Lord. So at this time, I'll ask the blessing on the offering. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we can give back what is rightfully yours to begin with. Father, help us, Father, to give generously to this young family as their desire is to reach out for the lost people in Panama. Father, we just ask you to bless it, bless each one that gives. And Father, I pray that you would bless even that one that cannot give, that they would sense the need to pray. And we'll ask you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.